Today, we will, as is customary, give the second Teisho of Sesshin on the Fukan Zengi. This is actually cheating a little bit because I'm relying on Dogen to provide the bulk of the Teisho. Fukan Zazengi, a universal recommendation for Zazen, or advice on the principles of Zazen. 11th chapter of Shobogenzo, The Eye and Treasury of the True Law, by Dogen Keegan. The way is essentially perfect and exists everywhere. How could it be contingent upon practice and realization? The truth which carries us along is sovereign and does not require our efforts. Indeed, the whole body is far beyond the world's dust. Who could believe in a means to brush it clean? The way is completely present where you are. Is it then necessary to run around in search of it? And yet, if there is the slightest difference in the beginning between you and the way, the result will be a greater separation than between heaven and earth. If the slightest dualistic thinking arises, mind is lost in confusion. You should pay attention to the fact that even the Buddha Shakyamuni had to practice Zazen for 6 years. It is also said that Bodhidharma had to do Zazen at Shaolin Temple for 9 years in order to transmit the Buddha mind. Since these ancient sages were so diligent, how can present-day trainees do without the practice of Zazen? You should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words and following after speech, and learn to withdraw and reflect upon yourself. When you do so, body and mind will naturally fall away, and your original face will be revealed. If you want to realize such a thing, you should begin Zen training and exert yourself in this matter at once. The study of Zen means the practice of Zazen. For Zazen, a quiet place is suitable. Day or night, it should not be dark. It should be kept warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Eat and drink moderately, and engage yourself in Zazen as though saving your head from fire. Cast aside all involvements. Cease all affairs, and let the myriad things rest. Setting everything aside, do not think of good or evil, right or wrong. Halt the flow of the mind. Cease conceptualizing, thinking, and observing, and give up even the idea of becoming a Buddha. This holds true not only for seated Zazen, but for all your daily actions. At the site of your regular sitting, spread out a thick mat and place a firm round cushion on it. Sit on the cushion in either the full lotus or half lotus posture. In the full lotus posture, you first place your right foot on your left thigh and your left foot on your right thigh. Your robes should be worn loosely and arranged neatly. Then place your right hand on your left leg and your left palm facing upward on your right palm, thumb tips touching lightly. Sit upright, leaning neither left nor right, front nor back. Your ears should be on the same plane as your shoulders and your nose in line with your navel. Your tongue should be placed against the roof of your mouth and your lips and teeth closed firmly. Your eyes should always remain open, and you should breathe gently through your nose. Having adjusted your body in this manner, Take a deep breath and exhale fully. Sway your body left and right several times and settle into an immobile sitting posture. Then sit firmly as a rock and think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? By not thinking. This is the very basis of Zazen. The Zazen I speak of is not a way of developing concentration or learning meditation. It is not a means to enlightenment. It is simply the easy and pleasant practice of a Buddha, the realization of the Buddha's wisdom. Zazen itself is pure natural enlightenment. It is the manifestation of ultimate reality. The truth appears, there being no delusion. Traps and snares can never reach it. If you understand my meaning and do Zazen correctly, you will be like a dragon who has reached the water or a tiger that reclines on a mountain. Know that the true Dharma itself is present there in Zazen and that confusion and distractions are eradicated right from the beginning. When you rise from sitting, move slowly and quietly, calmly and deliberately. Do not rise suddenly or abruptly. When we contemplate the past, we find that transcending both the sacred and the profane, or such things as dying, while either sitting or standing, have all depended entirely on the power of Zazen. Moreover, it is impossible to explain with words and analysis how the ancient masters could seize upon the crucial moment which brought about Satori in a disciple by pointing a finger, using the tip of a pole, a needle, or a mallet, and give encouragement with the hosu, a fist, a stick, or a shout. Neither can this be understood through supernatural power or a dualistic view of practice and enlightenment. Practice and enlightenment are the majestic deportment of the body beyond the sights and sounds of this world. What can they be other than the Dharma which is prior to understanding and analysis? Therefore, there is no question here at all of being intelligent or stupid, nor is there any difference between the quick-witted and the dull. To practice the way single-mindedly is in itself enlightenment. There is no gap between practice and enlightenment, or Zazen and daily life. And a person who advances in the way is an ordinary person. The Buddhas and ancestors, both in this world and in India and in China, have all preserved the Buddha mind and enhanced Zen training. You should therefore devote yourself exclusively to and be completely absorbed in the practice of Zazen. You may hear of 10,000 distinctions or 1,000 differences, but just do Zazen earnestly and make an effort in the way. You have already had the good fortune to be born with a precious human body. Do not pass over from the light to the shadow by pursuing other matters. Do not waste your time meaninglessly. Now that you know what is the most important thing in Buddhism, how can you be satisfied with the transient world? Our bodies are like dew on the grass, and our lives like a flash of lightning, vanishing in a moment. So exert yourself in the way that points directly to your original nature. Respect those who have attained, who have realized full knowledge, and have nothing more to do. Become one with the wisdom of the Buddhas and succeed to the enlightenment of the ancestors. If you do Zazen for some time, you will realize all this. The treasure house will open of itself, and you will be able to enjoy it to your heart's content. Delivered to the monks of Kipoji in November 1243. If you Google Dogen's name, you get approximately 659,000 references. So it's not as if he were an obscure Japanese monk that nobody ever heard of. He is universally recognized as a towering figure in Buddhism, and also as a philosopher whose work is studied in universities all over the world. I've sometimes compared Dogen with Nagarjuna. Here is what David Loy, a Zen practitioner and philosopher, writes about Dogen and Nagarjuna. He says, "They are arguably the two greatest Mahayana thinkers, linked by their commitment to its understanding of the world and, if we accept the traditional account, by a transmission lineage that extends from Shakyamuni through Nagarjuna to Dogen and his successors." Certainly, Nagarjuna is a philosopher's philosopher, notorious for a laconic, knife-edged logic that wields distinctions that no one had ever noticed before, and that many have since been unable to see the point of. Dogen's major work, the Shobogenzo, written in his own very idiosyncratic Japanese, is as poetical and elusive as Nagarjuna's is dialectical and dry. Dogen's text is mostly metaphor. Nagarjuna has almost none. While Nagarjuna seems preoccupied with splitting what some see as conceptual hairs, Dogen is concerned with exploring the semantic possibilities of Buddhist texts to discover new meanings, willing and even eager to misinterpret certain passages to make his point. Well, while Dogen's poetic and elusive style is seen in much of his writings, the Fukan Zazengi is, at least at first glance, a straightforward set of instructions. Although it is listed as chapter 11 in the Shobogenzo, it was the first thing he wrote on his return from China. Consider the following passage. "At the site of your regular sitting, spread out a thick mat and place a firm round cushion on it. Sit on the cushion in either the full lotus or half lotus. In the full lotus posture, you first place your right foot on your left thigh and your left foot on your right thigh. Your robe should be worn loosely and arranged neatly. Then place your right hand on your left leg and your left palm facing upward on your right palm, thumb tips touching lightly. Sit upright, leaning neither left nor right, front nor back. Your ears should be on the same plane as your shoulders, and your nose in line with your navel. Your tongue should be placed against the roof of your mouth, and your lips and teeth closed firmly. Your eyes should always remain open, and you should breathe gently through your nose. Having adjusted your body in this manner, take a deep breath and exhale fully. Sway your body left and right several times and settle into an immobile sitting posture. Then sit firmly as a rock and think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? By not thinking. This is the very basis of Zazen." In this minutely precise description of Zazen, Dogen presents us with our responsibility. What is our responsibility in Sesshin? There is only one. Our sole responsibility is to our practice. To sit as Dogen describes, as precisely as we are able to. But let's be careful here. Yes, Dogen gives us a description of the physical body in practice. But nothing about it is sacrosanct. The half or full lotus may be an ideal, but how many of us here can lever ourselves into a full lotus, much less sit that way for any length of time? Quite a few years ago, one of our members suffered an injury the first day of Sesshin. A fire extinguisher dropped on his foot. Well, after he got back from the emergency room, he sat the seven-day Sesshin in a chair with his foot in a cast, propped up on a stool with ice packs. People have done Sesshin flat on their back because of spinal disc injuries. So we do what we can, as best we can. Half lotus, quarter lotus, seiza, chair, whatever works, depending on our individual anatomy and condition. For most of us, the posture from the hips on up is much more doable. Place your right hand on your left leg and your left palm facing upward on your right palm, thumb tips touching lightly. Sit upright, leaning neither left nor right, front nor back, your ears on the same plane as your shoulders and your nose in line with your navel. Your tongue placed against the roof of your mouth and your lips and teeth closed firmly. Your eyes should always remain open and you should breathe gently through your nose. We can add a little bit to that. At the beginning of every round, it's a good idea to go through an inventory a couple of times if you need to. Back, head, neck, shoulders, arms, hands, belly, legs, feet, in-breath, out-breath. The point of posture is not a particular configuration, even though we know from literally thousands of years of experience what works best from a practical standpoint. The real point of posture is that we pay attention to it, that we take care of it. This is true of the posture, the breath, the move, the counting, the moment-by-moment sitting. Pay attention. Take care. This is our responsibility and our obligation to and for the practice. It is in the body, its feelings and sensations, that the path lies. A deva named Rohitatasa asked the Buddha, "Lord, the world's end, where one is neither born, nor ages, nor dies, nor passes away, nor reappears. Is it possible to know or see or reach that by traveling there?" The Buddha replied, "Friend, that there is a world's end where one is neither born, nor ages, nor dies, or passes away, nor reappears, which is to be known or seen or reached by traveling there, that I do not say. Yet I do not say there is ending of suffering without reaching the world's end. Rather, it is in this fathom-long carcass, with its perceptions and its mind, that I describe the world, the origin of the world, the cessation of the world, and the way leading to the cessation of the world." Do we get that? This body-mind is nirvana and the path to nirvana. Zazen teaches Zazen. If you pay close attention to your physical body in Zazen, in the most literal manner, you will learn Zazen. This means meticulous attention to your body, your posture, your hands, your breathing, the straight spine, the chin slightly tucked, the head upright. You will learn exactly what you need to know, realize exactly what you need to realize. It's very simple. Not easy, but simple. Don't get complicated. Don't seek anything. Don't seek enlightened thoughts or attitudes. That's it. Don't tinker. Dogen also says, this holds true not only for seated Zazen, but for all your daily actions. All your daily actions. Entering the Zendo, walking to your seat, bowing, sitting, adjusting your posture, doing kinhin, walking to Doksan as we are doing in this session, walking to Orioki, eating, Samu. In this small session, we've all had to double up on jobs. Yes, the primary aspect of session is Zazen, sitting Zen. But please, don't look upon the work periods as interruptions. Everything is an opportunity for practice. In the Zendo, the practice is just sitting, just mu, just the counting, just the breath. In kinhin, it is just walking. In the kitchen, just cutting vegetables, just washing, just sweeping. Just the body doing. Just doing. Everything is practice. And practice is everything. A knife practices being a knife. A broom practices being a broom. A trash bag practices being a trash bag. This very body, the body of Buddha, all are the body of Buddha. Your body, the body of Buddha, your actions, the actions of Buddha. You don't have to make it happen. Just pay attention and stay out of the way. There's a simple kind of joy in this. Just getting up. Just taking a step. Just opening the Orioki. Just picking up the chopsticks. There is no effort. Each moment, an eternity unto itself. Each breath, an eternity unto itself. Elsewhere, Dogen says, to be aware that each breath that comes in does not anticipate the breath that goes out is the aspiration for enlightenment. This is right endeavor. All we can really see clearly is what we do in this very moment. And the only way we do that is by giving ourselves up to this very moment. We give ourselves up to this very moment of Zazen, to the very moment of walking, eating, working, resting. Master Gaoshan said, "There is no need to avoid or escape anything. Just know about it, that's enough. If you try to avoid it, it's still affecting you. Just don't be changed or affected by things, and you'll be free." That's our practice, to sit and let all else go. Don't try to chase after. Don't try to escape. Don't accept or reject. Just know about it. Be aware. That's enough. Do not anticipate. Do not regret. Do not look forward. Do not look back. Let us enjoy our breathing. Let us enjoy our mu. Let us enjoy our zazen. Let us enjoy this moment. We hear talk of different approaches, Mahayana, Hinayana, Vajrayana, and so on, so-called greater and lesser vehicles, but there is only one real vehicle, that is this body-mind. And it won't last forever. Let's not waste it. Together with all beings, we attain Buddhahood.